Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I am Kenny Bedwell, and I have a special guest with us for this part two episode of the number one ROI for your property. So I've got Andrew Keller, the best, one of the best, or the best. I think, in my opinion, he is the best STR photographer in our industry. He's gone across 20 different states, photoed a ton of short-term rentals. He does it a ton for our clients, and they make a ton of money from his photos because they are amazing. And he is going to grace us with his presence and tell us all about the types of photos you need to be taking to increase your ROI for your property and the different angles and the shots and so on. So I'm just so excited to welcome Andrew. Andrew, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and give us an intro.
So my name's Andrew. I'm a short-term rental photographer. I'm based out of the Chattanooga area. Most of my work is in Asheville, Tennessee, Blue Ridge area, but I've traveled so far to 15 different states photographing short-term rentals. I have 5 other new ones on schedule for later this year, so that'll be 20 unique states. And I like to spend about a full day at your property, get all the best photos. We do the interior photos, exterior photos, drone photos, 3D floor plans, Matterport, sometimes some lifestyle photos. We set up all the baby amenities. So when you get me, you get like everything you can possibly need to get as many photos for your listing as possible.
Okay, so that's a lot of stuff, man. Why? Why do you do all that?
My philosophy has always been like, if you're gonna do a job, do it to perfection and do everything there is to do. I don't like doing a halfway job. So like some people might show up and yeah, we'll get all the photos and then we'll just do a virtual twilight or whatnot. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna be there the whole day. And actually I was at a property just this past week and I thought, you know, this will be a good experiment. Let me start my watch. Let me just put my phone in another room, not have any more ding, 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 dings. Let me just work, work, work. So the property was 3,900 square feet. So about your average property. I got there at 2:30, and by the time I had finished the last shots with sunset and everything, it was 10:30. So that's like a full 8-hour day at the property. And I just want to provide you everything you want. Like, I don't want to go home and have you ask, well, hey, did you get a photo of this from this angle? Or, hey, why didn't you photograph that? No, my job is to be there the full day and get you everything.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, which is so hard to find. I feel like so many people do just real estate photography and, you know, like they're like taking pictures to like sell a property, not necessarily like frame it as a short-term rental. So tell us more. How did you get into this? Like, what led you into doing photography specifically for short-term rentals? Because that's all you do. You don't go, or maybe I'm wrong. You correct me if I'm wrong here, but I as far as I'm aware, you're not going off like doing, you know, like weddings or like just selling people's houses or whatever. You actually go and it's just short-term rentals, right?
Yep. Strictly short-term rentals at this point. I did one wedding once for a friend. I won't even get into that because short-term rentals is my thing. But how I got into it, kind of all by accident, but someone had asked me to get, I was really good at drone photos and landscape. Like landscape photos is my passion. And I'd created a calendar with some landscape photos. And some guy was like, those are really good photos. Can you get us some drone shots at our cabin on the river and show like the river and the mountains in the background? And I'm like, sure. Yeah, I love doing that. So I did that, got them great shots. And I always like to go above and beyond and give people like everything, as I was saying. So I did the whole inside of the house while I was there. He never asked me to, that I remember. And one thing kind of led to another. I just started taking more photos of houses, experimenting with all the editing, tried to figure out how to get good at it, and did more work for people, and word of mouth just really took it. And now it's kind of snowballed. And yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So you did it for this one guy and you've really grown from there. And in my profession, everyone listening to this, I'm not biased by any means. I've yet to use Andrew. I think we're going to do some exchange of services soon for him to come up to New York, but for any of my properties, but he is one of the best photographers in our industry. And so to get the best, to be the best, Andrew, what did you have to do? Like, what was that mind shift or that like change of perception for short-term rentals, that like that aha moment that you had to go like, this is how I should take the photos, you know, in this specific way?
It's hard to point to a specific aha moment. I've always been one that takes way too many photos of anything just because I'm indecisive and I like to photograph everything. So I kind of had that already going for me. I was never like limiting myself to 30, 40. I give a lot, but I think probably just being at the properties, especially the really nice properties. One of the first ones I did was like a $2 million mountain cabin with unobstructed views of Mount LeConte right out through these windows. And this was before I was even really doing any of the twilight photos. I hardly knew what a twilight photo was myself at this point. And I'm just sitting here and I'm watching the sun go down through these huge floor-to-ceiling windows. And I just took a whole bunch of photos because it was beautiful. I wasn't hired for it again, but I just thought this is amazing. And I took all those photos, got them edited, and I was like, wow, those came out really nice with that sun and everything. And I posted those on Facebook, and then everyone was like, oh, can you get me photos like that at sunset and sunrise at the properties? And so I guess that would probably kind of be the kind of aha moment. You got to really show the properties. I mean, people are staying here for days or a week, and I mean, sunset, everyone wants to see the sunset when they book a mountain cabin. So that would probably be one of the deciding points.
Yeah, no. So it's kind of, it seems like you experimenting, right?
Yeah, totally.
Playing around with different things. One that was when we were talking, I think that was one of the things that caught my ear, or my eye, but more importantly, like when you said, you're like, I take a ton of photos and I get all these different angles and what's interesting is whenever I pay for photography, one of my biggest gripes or frustrations is, you know, especially with my short-term rentals, is I'm like, there's just not enough photos. Like, it's like, what were they doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I've got like one good shot of the bedroom, you know, and they maybe took a few other ones, or maybe there's a couple shots or whatever, but like, I always end up hiring two different photographers. And
that's a great idea.
One will catch one in a different angle and the other one will catch another in another angle. And, you know, it's great, but, you know, I get like, you know, maybe 80 photos total and from each, and, you know, that's like, that's it. And sure, I know they like edit and do all this other stuff, but it's like the same. I see, like, I've even asked them, like, give me everything and let me see what you have. And like, it's all kind of the same shot. So they're not really like looking for different angles. And so when you mentioned and you were showing me some of the case studies, you're like, I did, you know, there's like hundreds of photos and you're editing, you know, maybe like 1 to 150 or something like that, hopefully, depending on the property.
Yep. I think the bare minimum is like 150. Well, the bare minimum, I mean, most of the properties I do are around 3,000 square feet or above. Every single one gets at least 150.
Oh, wow. That's insane. And that for hosts, and is, you know, I feel like that, that's important and that's huge because you have these different shots, these different angles to view your property, and you have a lot to pick from. You know what I mean? Most people, I think they overwhelm with too many photos, but on their listings, but really, you know, the sweet spot is going to be like that 50 to maybe 60 at tops range. So you have a lot of different photos to choose. And that was something that just stood out to me as something important.
Yeah, one thing I'll even say with that is I had this one lady, and I kind of thought she was a little bit crazy at the time, but she wanted me to photograph like all like the soaps and the cotton swabs and everything in the bathrooms and like all these tiny detail shots. And it's like, nobody wants this on your Airbnb listing. This is crazy, but I'll do it because that's what you're paying me to do. And now she has a whole Facebook page set up for the site, and she has all these neat graphics with what's provided, and she shows that all of this stuff is here. So it's like, even if you're not going to use, and please don't ever use all 150 photos on your listing because that'll overwhelm you, but it gives you a wide variety so you can use them for marketing on Facebook and Instagram and creating engaging ads and that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. I think that one of the things that going to the title of the episode here, the number one ROI. Now I've already, you know, we've already done the part one. I've already talked about, you know, why photography is important, the nuts and bolts of it. But the reason why I wanted to bring you though in, Andrew, is because obviously you do it day in and day out, but you're looking for those, like what I call money shots. So what's your, when you show up at a property, which is obviously the hero image or the scroll stoppers, those kind of images and things, how do you determine what those are going to be? like the shot or the, is it just like after you review everything, you go, okay, these are probably the best ones? Or is it more so like you go in and you know, like, well, this property has views, so obviously I got to get some good shots with views or the beach or whatever it is.
Yep. So it all begins well in advance of actually getting to the property. Once I get the address from the people, I want to go on Google Earth and I want to see, where is it? Which direction does it face? Is it east facing or west facing? Where's the sun going to be? And I have a couple different apps on my phone where I can put in the date of the photo shoot and the location of the house. And then I can move all these sliders and I can see exactly where the sun is going to be when. So especially when you have like an east and west facing house, I want to make sure I get sunrise or sunset based on that. And then I have one client right now, they wanted to hire me and another photographer because they like to get several variations. And I told them, well, go ahead and hire this person now, but go ahead and wait to hire me until like November because the sun's going to be better then. Now, of course, I can't do that with all of my clients, but you can do that with a couple houses when you're local. But it all begins like plotting everything out on Google Earth a couple days before. But then sometimes you just get to the property and you don't really know what it looks like. You don't know if it had like really good designer beforehand or whatnot. And sometimes I just pick out my top five shots after the fact. In reality, most of the time the owner will pick. What I'll do is I'll create like a recommended folder, and of those 150 photos or whatever, I'll put in like my favorites that I'd recommend they choose. And oftentimes they'll pick some of those. Sometimes they'll just surprise me.
Yeah. And I think we can put kind of two and two together on like the whole sun thing, but why is that important though? Why November? I think, yeah, that was kind of my question came to mind. Like, why November? Why is the sun better in November there?
So it's not necessarily better in November. It depends on the property. Just the way this property was facing on the mountain, the sun actually sets in a different spot every season of the year. And right now it would not have been in frame of like the pool and everything on the deck. So when you're looking straight out at Mount LeConte.
How are you determining that? Like from an app, like what app are you using? Like break that down. Cause I think everyone's going to take notes on that one and go, okay, I need to see when the sun is perfectly set on my property.
There's like a star finder app on the phone. And then the other app, I think, well, maybe I don't want to give out all of my app secrets here, but there's just a couple different apps I use. And like, I don't use it for everybody, but especially when you're like local, I'll try to come up with a good recommendation of when to do it. Because so many people are like, can I have that shot? And I'm like, yeah, I'll try it, but I'm not going to guarantee it because it might be cloudy, in which case we can Photoshop colorful sky in. But they're like, but we really want the sunrise shots. And I'll tell them, well, unfortunately, your property just doesn't face that way. I've had people want me to like Photoshop out trees and whatnot so they can see it, which just isn't possible. But I think I'll keep the app a secret for now anyways.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. So obviously the sun, I think that's a big one, the sun, and we've seen some of your ones with the sun. I have that presentation we did that when we did that workshop a few months ago. I'm just looking through some of the photos. Oh, okay. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to share my screen. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you're going to see this. So like, yeah, the sun, I mean, look at this. This is so, if you're listening to this, yeah, I advise going to YouTube and watching this. I mean, the sun is coming up over the mountains. It looks really, really cool. You've got the nice living room there. Amazing, beautiful shot. That's incredible. That's a scroll stopper. So That's an example of some of the work that you do, and that's what you're looking for. What other things? So like a lot of properties don't have that angle. They don't have that opportunity to catch. So what other things are you looking for to like get that scroll stopper?
Yeah. So honestly, everybody wants that photo and I don't blame them because it's amazing. But in reality, that type of photo is only going to be possible at maybe 10% of the houses I photographed. Just it depends on so many factors. And like you can have it set up perfectly, but if it's cloudy, there's nothing you can do. And it's not like I can stay for a week on end to get it. So like other scroll stoppers are, you don't need the sun. Still twilight photos are going to be the main highlight photos. I always like to get the hot tub staged with a bottle of wine and wine glasses. Like that, except that one doesn't have the wine. But I mean, the hot tub's always going to be up in there in the top five. Anything twilight is going to be eye-catching because it's different and it's unique and it's not everybody's doing it. I always will insist that you hire a photographer to be there for actual twilight. So many people will try to fake it in Photoshop and sometimes it can look okay, but so many times you're going to have like these obnoxious yellow windows that windows never look like that, and you're going to have this like radioactive pink sky and it looks terrible. So I'd always
like
recommend
purple
spending,
like this weird you're like the sky is not that purple.
Yeah, so yeah. I'd always recommend whoever you have do it, give them whatever extra they want to stay for sunsets. And it gets hard in these summer months. I mean, when I'm doing, most of the time I'll just do one property a day, but if I have my mom with me, we can knock out two. And like in summer, like there's like almost 14 plus hours of daylight, and then you've got twilight before that. So I've put in many 16-hour days.
Yeah. No. That makes sense. That's awesome. So in terms of, okay, any other, so what if someone's like in a, maybe a more urban market or residential neighborhood where they don't have like incredible views or, you know, the hot tub and these, you know, these other things that maybe they have a pool in the backyard or, but they're just in a tip, like think maybe Orlando, you know?
Yeah, we can still get some fantastic shots there. One thing that's going to be important for those areas, especially in the cities, is you're going to want to have some drone shots, and you're going to want to show where's the house and then where are all of these like attractions, like that skyline in the back, that is that downtown Orlando? Is that downtown whatever? And you want to kind of show how close everything is, because you can see the house. Oh, yeah, that looks nice. But where is it? The description says it's like 5 minutes from this, but can I actually see it or see where it is in the drone shot? That's going to be important, because then people can see, oh yeah, there it is.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. So from talking to your clients who've done these types of photos before, and I mean, how do you feel about, well, I guess before we get into like the data and your experience, I do want to circle back. How about like, how do you like to photo amenities? You know, I know you mentioned the hot tub where you have, so obviously, like this one, you have like people in the hot tub, like, you know, drinking something. I think you have some, like you mentioned, the wine glasses or whatever. So it's staged up a little bit, but that's like a hot tub. What about pools? What about, you know, if they don't have outdoor things, maybe it's like an apartment. I don't know if you've done any apartments before, but like indoor amenities, like what's your approach?
Yep. So I like to get like all the amenities. So like the games, I'll round up all the games and put them on a coffee table, and we'll get a big group shot of all of those. All the baby amenities, those are going to be important for the wealthy Wendy travelers wanting with small kids. They want to see, hey, they have the pack and play. They have the high chair. They have the baby monitor. So I'll get all those together in a group shot. Kitchen cabinets, I usually like to open every single kitchen cabinet, get shots of everything in there, build a collage for people so they can see that kitchen is fully equipped. Hopefully that'll cut down on some of the messages that you have coming in. Hey, we're coming to spend Thanksgiving dinner. Do you have a fill in the blank? And if they look at the photos, they'll see that. So that's kind of the goal. So I like to do a group shot of all the amenities when I can. And like beach stuff, that's always important to show. Sometimes I'll drag it all down to the beach and set it up, and that's a nice shot. Or you can just set it up nicely in the backyard or the shed. Just make sure it's all pictured on the listing so you can show people that you have everything they need.
So it sounds like you really, like, there's value in staging.
Yep, for sure.
Cool. Okay. What about, and this one's a little bit controversial for some reason. People are always asking, they're like, well, is it okay, like, for lifestyle photos? You know, like people and images. So I've seen some of your ones you do. I do want to pull up this one that you've done for us for one of our clients where you've got, I think it's his cleaners or something like that, like her and her family, like in the shots. Not every photo has people in them, but you can see like, it's just like a few, but what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah. So probably I do lifestyle photos at maybe 5% of the homes I photograph, maybe 10. It's not actually a lot. They actually add a whole lot of extra work because you got to take so many pictures to have people with their eyes open and the beanbags actually in the air. And so it's a lot of extra work. And a lot of time it's like scheduling can be tough to get people there. I do think it's good to have a couple sprinkled in throughout the listing for sure. I wouldn't want to see them in probably more than, say, 10 different photos, but I think they're definitely good. The way I like to do it is have people there for like an hour and just go through and knock all of the photos out in one go and then send everybody home so I can do all the rest of the photos without people running around and cars in the parking lot and everything else.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Have you seen, okay, so with lifestyle photos, have you seen that make a difference for any of your clients' properties in terms of revenue or anything like that reported back to you?
I don't know if I've actually asked to find that out, to be honest.
Okay. Well, that's, I would be curious. So yeah,
most of the listings I photograph, and my favorite ones to photograph, are like brand new. So like nobody's been there before. They don't have any photos to work off of before. Those are my favorite. So it's kind of hard to get like, did they help or not?
Right. Yeah. No. That's interesting. So that's something we'll have to keep an eye on, I guess, as you're going through. But okay. So we talked about lifestyle, and we talked about certain, you know, the scroll stoppers, how to get those, what to look for, depending on your market, and then amenities as
one
well.
One thing I want to mention at some point here too is kind of a pre-photography checklist that Kim Fitzpatrick and I created for our clients. I don't know if I can share my screen on here or not. So here's kind of a pre-photography checklist that both Kim and I came up with. She needs a whole episode of her own, actually. She sets up all of these places and does an amazing job of getting them photo ready. So when I come in, they're perfectly set up and ready and whatnot. But we like to recommend that, like, if you have windows at the property, especially like big floor-to-ceiling windows, definitely get them cleaned off, because sometimes you'll have spider webs up in there, or there'll be haze or whatnot, or fingerprints from the past guests. So those are important. Pool cleaning. There's oftentimes you'll end up at a pool and it's like covered in leaves and whatnot, and I'd prefer not to Photoshop that out if I can help it. Hot tub filling, that's a big one. Sometimes it's actually on numerous occasions I've arrived and the hot tub looks like it's missing about a foot or so of water. And when you're trying to get your hero shot with all the staging and the bubbles on and everything, if there's not enough water to even make bubbles, that can be a problem. So good time to check your hot tub. Pressure washing, like the driveway or whatnot, especially if it's muddy from any construction, if it's brand new. Landscaping, it'd be a good time to get the yard cleaned up beforehand. Just please don't schedule the landscapers for when I'm at the photo shoot. I had one client do that, and I was photographing a bedroom and the lawnmower and sod layer was going back and forth out the window. And I had to time my shots not to get the minutes, so that was annoying. Checking all the light bulbs, that's another important one. So many times I'll see that there's a bunch of light bulbs out, and I've got flashes and ways to light up photos, so it's not the end of the world, but it's like when you schedule your photo shoot, this is a good time to kind of go down this checklist and make sure that your property is still in good shape. And then organizing the kitchen cabinets, obviously if it's new construction and Kim has set it up, they'll all be perfect, but it would be nice to have like all the cutlery neatly stacked, all the drawers the way they're supposed to be, so we can show everything neatly and just have the property be, what I like to tell people, guest ready. I don't want it to be photo ready. I want it to be guest ready. So I can be a guest that walks in and leaves you a 5-star review. Because so many times we're like, oh yeah, it's photo ready. We're just going to be having this guy come by to check things. So that's all great. But have them do that the day before I get there. Don't schedule photo shoot day and property checkup maintenance day for the same day, because it does not work.
That's interesting. That's good to know. I mean, a lot of people don't think about that, you know.
I know. It's like probably 40% of, well, maybe 30 to 40% of my clients where I run into this, where it's like people are there and I'm there, and it just, I make it work, but it's not always fun.
Right. Yeah. So when you do like I like the photo checklist. What else do you like that's ideal for giving a host to a photographer to know, so you can start, you know? Are there certain things that you like about rooms or things about the property or the certain amenities, or like what do you enjoy when a host comes to you and says, hey, Andrew, here's some information about the property. What's that information?
Usually they don't give me too much information.
I know most people don't, but like for you, what would be kind of an ideal situation?
My favorite ones are like when there's lots of outdoor lighting, string lights, solar lights, pathway lights, well-designed. They have all the amenities. I don't like walking into houses where the design budget was $2 and they have no lights and they have white walls, or they have the picture of the grizzly bear on the wall. And I like it when they like, hey, this is what we've done. We've really created this masterpiece. We really want you to show it and all its glory. And I like when they give me some instructions for sure, just so I know what to get. Most of the time I don't need them, but it is nice when people want to say, hey, here's the key highlights we really want to show.
Sure. Okay. What's the most creative? I'm going to know this. I'm just curious because I've heard you do some crazy things with drones. What's the most creative shot you've ever taken?
So there's definitely one, and I wish I could pull it up, but I don't know where it is right now. But there were these two bunk beds in this room, in Asheville, and we had this really wide, long window, like visible from the top of the bunk beds, and doing a standard photo in this room, like at mid-room height, yeah, you'd see the two bunk beds, and that'd be great, but you just see sky out the window. I wanted to show the big, long mountain views out this window you'd see from laying in the top bunks. So I had climbed up onto the top of the bunk bed, took my tripod, and inverted it, so the camera's upside down, and I'm, like, hanging off the bunk bed, like, totally in this awkward position. It literally took about probably 10 to 15 minutes just to get the tripod and camera set up in the right position. But then we could see the room, the bunk beds, and the long range views out the window. So that was a pretty creative one. A couple other ones. I really like the egg chairs, kind of working some of the framing of the egg chair into the shots. Then with the drones, I've done some pretty risky things with the drones to get some shots, but I'm not afraid to take the drone like way back into, not even way back, but just back into the forest, because so many times these houses are like on a wooded lot, and the only way to get a really good photo of the backyard with all the amenities and landscaping is to get the drone way back here, but there's so many trees, so I'll like be like super carefully navigating this drone through all the tree branches so I can get that whole shot of the house. And so far I have not crashed a drone doing that yet.
Nice.
Crashed it other ways, but not doing that yet.
That's funny.
You got to be creative. I mean, whenever I get to a property, I'm like, what shots can I get here that nobody else is going to get? Or even when I go to a property that's already been photographed, I'm like, okay, you already have those, but what can I do here that hasn't been done?
Right, right. I like that. I like that mentality. I think that's really, really interesting and awesome. Just another testament to your services and what you do. I heard like one time you like took your drone and there was like two like glass doors and you like took it from the living room and it like flew out the house, like up out. Have you done stuff like that before?
I'm trying to remember what that one was. After I recently crashed and destroyed my drone flying it inside out of house a couple of months ago, I kind of did not fly my outdoor drone inside anymore.
Like last year or something like that. I heard from somebody. But anyway,
okay. Yeah. It's not something I am working on something. I'm not quite ready to reveal what it is yet, but that will probably be coming back in some way, shape, or form, but not with that style of drone anyways.
Yeah. That's funny. Okay, cool. Well, that's really, I've heard the reputation of Andrew Keller in his drone shots and his drone while he does them. So
yeah, anyway. I think by now I've accumulated close to 700 miles of flight time on all of my different drones. So I mean, that's over the past couple of years, but I put those drones to work.
Yeah. The ROI on a drone, a photography drone. Yes.
Well, the ROI on a drone is actually pretty good. My first drone was a $400 drone and I made well over $4,000 with that drone. So the ROI was there. I've since upgraded to a more expensive drone, so the ROI is lower, but it's still there.
Nice, nice. Okay. So I want to talk about, because when we met a while ago, and did like that workshop together, it was a few months ago, we sat down and we prepped and you went and asked your clients about the data from the types of photos you had, because people are so freaking cheap when it comes to their photos. I mean, I went off on this at the earlier episode, so I don't need to go get on my soapbox here and preach, but like literally people will go like, oh, who's the cheapest photographer that does this? I'm going to go with them and save the buck. And we know that's just awful. Hopefully everyone listening to this by now is like, okay, that's stupid. And should never do that. But when it comes to the data, because that's ultimately why, right? We know that better photography, having those scroll stopping images that properly highlight the property, make the property look good, and help people make that emotional decision is really what increases revenue. So from your clients and what they've reported back and said about the properties, what kind of data can you show to back up, or just talk about, you don't have to show it, to back up getting enhanced photography and the stuff that you're doing justifies the cost?
Yeah, so a lot of my clients, I just worked for one last week, actually, and I've actually finished doing all 11 of their properties over this past year, and they say their bookings have been tremendously up. Like, they had some good photos, but a lot of them are really, really dark and just did not captivate the space well, and they say they're going to do probably almost double this year based on what they did last year. Now, I don't think photography alone is making them do double. I think there's multiple factors, but obviously it helped them a lot. Other people, especially after updating the photos, they said, yeah, we got like 5-6 bookings come in right away. I've had other people that have had like the 3D floor plans, especially for like really big houses, say, yeah, we had a guest inquire and we showed them the 3D floor plans and we just got the booking because they were able to figure out how many stairs there were. And now they know that grandma can sleep here and Aunt Beth can sleep over here. A lot of people have reported within the range of anywhere from 15 to 30% increases when I asked them after about 6 months of doing their photos. So 15 to 30%. But that's a pretty good range.
That's huge. I mean, if you have a property, sorry to cut you off here, but let's just do the simple math. If you have a property that generates $100,000 in gross revenue, a 15 to 30% increase, you're talking $115,000, $130,000. Now, that's huge.
Yeah. And it could be just by a couple of bookings. It's like maybe the people liked the property, but they couldn't figure out how it fit together. Where were the rooms? And they went to a property that was easier to understand. But now when you showed them, hey, this place works for you, they're going to pick your place. And if you have a place that rents for $1,000 or more a night, boom, you got the ROI on those photos right there.
Right, right. Which are all like, what's really fascinating is like convincing a guest to book and stay at your place isn't about like necessarily the mechanics of it. It's more about the emotional side. You
yep.
have to be able to market your property, not just like, oh, Facebook ads or, you know, post on social media. That's not really marketing your property. Marketing your property starts with listing optimization and your photos, because people are visual. I can't stand, like, that's how I book. I look at the photos. I don't read anything. Who the heck wants to read anything, right?
Exactly.
Like, everyone's all worried about their description and the bullet points and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's sixes. It doesn't matter. It's all about the photos and how you display the amenities you have and the type of property you have inside of the photos. And then everything else might matter later on, but that's the biggest thing for me. And the number one ROI for, you know, every single STR and making it emotional. I think that's the focus here. And yeah, so Andrew, as we're kind of wrapping things up and getting to the end here, what types of tips, because obviously not everybody can get on your schedule. Not everybody can, you know, do these.
Everybody can get on my waitlist form.
On your waitlist.
In fact, please go ahead and fill it out. The way I kind of plan trips is like, I'll have somebody, hey, I listened to your episode. This happened last time with Kenny, and I've got this property out in California. And I'm like, great, I want to go to California and see this national park, but you've only got one property out here. But then everybody fills it in, and now it's like, okay, well, you've got California by this national park. You've got Las Vegas. You've got over here. If I fly into this airport and kind of drive up here and then fly back, that's how totally how I plan my trips. So yeah. It's like, I'll take everybody on the waitlist form.
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, so I guess go fill out the wait form. But in terms of preparation, how do you feel about people coming to you with, I want shots like this? Like if a host came to you and was like, hey, Andrew, I know that, you know, this is the highlight of my property. You can probably see that, like it's your first time at the property. I want photos, or I want to get a lot of good shots of this. How does that help you?
I think it's great because it shows me that that's one area they really want. And instead of maybe providing 10 photos of that area, they'll get 20 or something like that. I mean, sometimes it can be a little bit annoying for me when they like give me a list that's like 10 pages long of what they want, because it's like, yep, done. But I do appreciate it because it's like, okay, let's get special emphasis on this. Let's set this up this way for them. So I think that's good. And you should totally give your photographer kind of specifics on what you want to highlight.
Do you feel like... I know you briefly said like, you know, if someone's giving you pages and pages and pages, it can be annoying. But like, if someone came to you and was like, hey, these are the top amenities of my property, can you get really good shots there? Do you feel like that helps you know specifically what to emphasize, specifically
yeah.
what to get?
Yeah, for sure.
Is that annoying to you, or is that, you know?
No, I mean, that's great.
You'd be surprised, because I the way I'm asking that, I'm kind of fishing because I already know the answers to these, but you'd be surprised how many people are afraid to tell their photographers. I have these conversations all the time. I'm like, okay, you're going to hire a photographer. Tell them to get, you want a shot like this. This is what your property highlights. You need that photo. You need that type of shot. And if they don't get it, it was a waste of money because you didn't get it. You got to hire somebody else, or you got to have them come back again. And they're like, well, Kenny, I don't want to like get in their way, or, you know, like they all, like they should know to do that. And like, they make assumptions, right? And so, I mean,
I mean, I'm working for you. You're the person that signs my paycheck, so I'm going to do what you want me to do. I mean, that should be anybody's mentality. I mean, the client, the homeowner is the boss.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, sure, you're the expert, but the boss should be involved in the process, right? Should be involved. You don't have to follow Andrew around or climb up backwards on the ladder and all that.
And I'll even say if you can be at your property when your photographer's there, by all means, do it. I mean, that's a great opportunity for you to go visit your property, especially if you're out of state, but go be there and be there when your photographer's there. And you don't have to follow him into every single room, but I always like to walk through every room with my owners first, just make sure everything's the way they want it, talk through a couple of the shots we're going to do. And when they're there, things just go so much more smoothly most of the time. There's a few exceptions to that, but most of the time it's so much more helpful when they're there because they can show you exactly what they want and what they have in mind.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Cool. All right, Andrew, I really appreciate it. I think this was an excellent episode. Lots of good tips. Hopefully everyone listening to this can walk away and go, I can apply this today or when I go get a new property. Because guys, this is one of the biggest answers. And it's not even a secret. It's just the thing. Like, the highest ROI you can have for any property is getting the best photos to market it. So that,
and I'll follow that by the second best investment is string lights. Like you said, one of the best
string lights. There we go.
what was outdoor lighting? And I will tell everyone, get the string lights before I get there.
How do you feel about indoor lighting? Like, you know, in game rooms where they do like the blue LED strips around the top or, you know, just like different colors and things. Like, how do you feel about those?
Yeah, I think those are really, really neat. A lot of times I'll try to photograph the game rooms at night, actually, after there's no more light out the window, because then the windows become reflective and you can actually show some of those different lighting colors. Whereas when it's still daylight outside and the room is bright, it kind of erases some of that effect. But those are pretty cool.
That's interesting. Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. These little tidbits. It's always very fascinating having a conversation with you about the photos and things. All right, Andrew, let's wrap it up here. Last question. I ask everybody this, you know, the drill. You're actually one of our listeners. So thank you for, I guess, you're one of my listeners. Thank you for listening.
Yep.
I found one listener. they're out there, right? Anyway. So tell me, when it comes to cash flow positive of a short-term rental, it could be about photography, it could be anything. What's one tip you have for people to cash flow positive?
Go out and hire the best photographer you possibly can and possibly even hire two.
I love it. Side note on that. How do you feel about, so one lady came and talked to me and she was like, yes, I hire a real estate photographer and I hire a wedding photographer to shoot real estate shots.
No.
And she said, well, listen to the logic here.
Okay.
So she said the reason why she does that, so she gets like kind of like the typical real estate photography shots. And then with the wedding photographer, she says like they take more like they're different. Like they're used to like having more like emotion.
Artsy shots?
Okay. Yeah, like it's not like, I mean, sure, so a lot of it, you know, it's the same bedroom, whatever, but like the shots are a little bit different from a different perspective.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Definitely sounds like an interesting idea. I definitely wouldn't hire them first. I mean, I'd get your general shots first, but I mean, if you want to create some more interesting marketing material, get more variety of photos, yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Okay.
You can never have too many photos.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, to at least to compare and contrast against. All right, cool. So the tip is hire a really good short-term rental photographer if you can. I want to add to that too. Be involved. Like I hopefully everyone's taken that away, like listening to this has taken that away from this conversation. Be involved in the process. Don't just hire someone to hire someone. Like coach, like tell them like you're looking for that hero shot. You're looking for that scroll stopper. What's that going to be? And they're coming in with fresh eyes in your property and they can give you really good feedback. They might be like, you know, it might be this room or it might be this shot or this angle or this view or whatever. And you weren't expecting that. I think that that's a great way. I've had that happen a couple of times because when we're setting up the property or we're looking at the property, we kind of go in like very like, this is how we see it. And when someone else comes in, they can come in and be like, no, actually, you know, it looks better this way, you know,
yeah.
And it gives just different perspective again. But get both angles right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And in fact, not even both, but all four. I mean, every room has four corners.
Right. There you go. Yeah, that's a good point. So there's Andrew for you. All right, Andrew, how do people get a hold of you? Because I think there's going to be a few folks listening who want to get a hold of you, or at least if they're what your schedule's like. So how do people get a hold of you?
Alrighty. Well, the first available date, and it probably won't last long, is August 29th of this year. And then I'm about fully booked for the next little bit, pending cancellations. But best way for people to get in touch with me will be, you can email me at isoneedphotos@gmail.com. That is isoneedphotos@gmail.com, all one word, or shoot me a text at 423-316-1967. You can find me on Facebook at Andrew Keller or ISO Need Photos. I've got a website, which is like 2 years out of date, at isoneedphotos.com. But you can find me around.
ISO Need Photos. I love it. All right, cool. So if you want to get a hold of Andrew, he just gave you all the means of communication he has, except maybe like radio, but that's okay. We don't. Just kidding. So isoneedphotos@gmail.com, or you can find him on Facebook as well. And he's very active there. So thank you so much, Andrew, for being on here, sharing your tidbits and your information with everybody. I hope everyone listening found this episode to be helpful. I personally did, even though I've heard Andrew talk about this a lot and done things with him in the past. I learned something new every time. So thank you so much, Andrew. Yeah. Thanks. Cool, man. Well, thanks for being on. And I look forward to seeing everybody on the next episode of Cashflow Positive.